Welcome back. It's a Monday, the 20th day of June, 2022, coming right up on the summer solstice. Longest day of the year, perhaps in more ways than one. Anyway, I'm your host, Mark Hall, and I want to start off today with several things that kind of help put the news in perspective, starting with a major anniversary of a story that literally happened over the weekend, almost without notice. June the 17th, actually it was a Friday, 2022, was the 50th anniversary of what was at the time one of the most significant acts of political perfidy in an innocent USA. Okay, well, more innocent anyway. The 50th anniversary this weekend of the break-in at the DNC headquarters at the Watergate Hotel, 17 June 1972, in Washington District of Criminals, so it was even then, by five burglars, which led to the resignation of Tricky Dick Nixon, admittedly a piker, compared to almost everyone who's followed after him and committed acts that would have made Nixon blush. Imagine Tricky Dick watching the January 6th hearings and saying, "Ha! I should never have resigned! Good grief!" Much less realizing that the FBI helped Hillary to do things that made anything the Watergate 5 did look like a coffee break in today's Oval Office. So, isn't it funny, folks? They bugged the Democratic National Committee headquarters to get re-election strategy information. So look how far we've come, folks. You can lie outright to the FBI. Don't even need a wiretap. Hell, you just go right smack to NSA. Provided, of course, you're not on the new and really big White House enemies list. Which leads me right to how I want to introduce the rest of the news today via the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got lots of all of them. The first bit of good comes from Paul Joseph Watson at Summit News, and it says that the swimming sports world governing body has slapped a total ban on so-called transgender athletes. These are people that don't know whether they've got an innie or an outie, but really like the idea of being able to beat the you-know-what out of the gender that... But really seem to like the idea of being able to beat the you-know-what out of the weaker sex when it comes to swimming. Anyway, athletes who have gone through any form of male puberty are prohibited now from taking part in women's competition, you know, real women. It's about time, he says. FINA's new policy, passed by a margin of 71% after its 152 members voted on the issue, will force so-called transgender swimmers, i.e. men with something hanging on them that you can see really well through a swimsuit, to compete in a separate category that includes only those who don't know the difference and think that their gender identity is therefore different from their biological sex and what kind of hormones they have. And what kind of chromosomes they have. It's not complete. It's not a complete ban, however. So-called transgender athletes who were born with an outie may be allowed to compete in women's, may still be allowed to compete in events for actual women if they have completed their so-called transition by age 12. It's all about protecting competitive fairness, said FINA's president, Hussein al-Musallam. Meanwhile, when it comes to football, the main governing body... Meanwhile, though, here comes some ugly... FIFA, the main governing body there, will make it easier for... gender dysphoric athletes to compete in elite female competitions by removing threshold limits for testosterone. While they're at it, your host can't help but wonder, why don't they just get rid of all their drug rules completely? See how competitive they'd be with lewds and uppers and, oh yeah, let's not forget steroids. Remember when transphobic, steroid phobic losers got so upset about Jose Canseco and Mark McGuire? I guess there was Barry Bonds too, smashing the home run records of Hank Aaron and Babe Ruth just because they were doing a little doping? We're so much more enlightened today. Why, hell, home run records and any kind of sports records don't mean squat, especially for, women, whatever that means now. Compared to political correctness and what the newest perversion is that needs to be pushed to kids. Okay, so maybe swimming, having at least taken a step in the right direction but not really figured it out, isn't that good a news. Let's try this. From Rome, where frustrated drivers seem to have had enough of protesters that don't have the brain to get out of the highway and decided to, literally take matters into their own hands and drag the ignorant right out of the way. This is from Warner Todd Hudson in the Western Journal, view the Gateway Pundit as well. We've all seen he begins these protests where leftist agitators fill roadways with demonstrators, blocking cars, shutting down the streets, snarling traffic. But this time, motorists in Rome had had enough. They weren't just going to sit idly by, burning gasoline they can't afford now to boot, and let their lives be disrupted again by far-left idiots. How many times, he says, have you watched these protests shut down the roads, wondered why drivers just don't get out of their cars en masse and start physically dragging these screeching morons out of the way? Well, in Rome, they did just that earlier this month when members of an extremist climate group called the Extinction Rebellion, infested the Grande Raccordo Anulare, or simply the Raccordo, Rome's main ring road, and one of its busiest, as the Daily Mail describes it, when the airheads jumped onto the busy road in a row of bodies, sporting banners protesting that, oh yes, man-made climate change must be stopped, even if it destroys mankind. They caused traffic backups that snaked back for miles, using the same juvenile tactics we've seen now all over the world, including in the U.S. No police were anywhere to be seen. And finally, irate motorists got fed up, took matters into their own hands, and drivers began to jump out of cars and physically drag the whining leftists right off the road to eventually allow traffic to resume movement, as the Daily Mail reported. Video of the incident, and I encourage you to take a look at it, folks, shows infuriated motorists ripping the banners from the hands of protesters sitting cross-legged on the pavement and then returning to the line of people and physically pulling them off the road so cars could drive by. Hopefully, we'll see a trend here, and maybe not just against morons blocking traffic, and that would be really good news. On then to the bad, or at least some of it. There are bank runs in China, and maybe that's a harbinger here. It certainly has been for other pandemics. There are long lines to withdraw Chinese cash in places like Henan, Shanghai, and Dandong. People are lining up for hours, say reports, to try to obtain what they think is money, or at least currency, from bank accounts in the large cities of Henan, Shanghai, and Dandong, where it seems deep down the average Chinese just don't trust their Communist Chinese Party government. They're scared they may not be able to retrieve their life savings, and they're probably right. Chinese sources are saying that the freezing of depositors' accounts by four rural banks in Henan has become a hot topic on socialist media, and as a result, customers there couldn't withdraw their money. That led them to move to Zhangjiajou and try to get it there. Following Henan, banks in Shanghai and Liaoning, or Dandong, also witnessed long traffic jams in front of their own headquarters, where people couldn't receive deposits in spite of waiting for hours. Said one man watching the queue, "It's been like this these days. It's like that every day." Said another, "Many banks in mainland China are about to collapse. They're closed." Said another, "Heaven will not forgive them." And asked a third, "Will future recipients be charged with plotting to overthrow the country?" Hey, sounds like they've been watching the January 6th fiasco. More really bad, although not in the least surprising, here come the gas shortages, says Jim Hoff for the Gateway Pundit. Diesel prices hit yet another new record high on Father's Day, average $5.81 a gallon. And on the East Coast, truckers are stalled out on the highway waiting for gas while stations are running out of diesel. And when the trucks can't bring gas, guess what happens, folks? Well, then there's no gas and the trucks can't bring gas, and if you've ever heard the term vicious circle, you know what we're talking about. which brings me to the ugly, and unfortunately there's no shortage of that. On Friday's broadcast of MSNBC's Chris Jansing Reports, a senior advisor to the really senior, senile, marionette-in-chief named Gene Sperling responded to a survey showing that the majority of CEOs expect a recession in the next 18 months. I suspect most of them expect it in the next 18 weeks, or how about already? Saying that, quote, "We think too many people are not looking at the more reassuring elements of resilience in the economy right now. And they don't realize," he said, get this, folks, "just how successful our policies have been." Now, how's that for bad? But truly, it's an ugly admission, because the truth is, most people don't realize that the Biden regime's policies have been extremely successful. It's just that they've been lying to you about the plan, which was to utterly destroy the United States economy from day one, where, if you recall, they started by shutting down pipelines and destroying energy infrastructure. And on that score, no doubt about it, they have been damnably successful. Here's some more bad that really is ugly. "Quite possibly," writes Tyler Durden for Zero Hedge, "the biggest provocation of Russia, Russia, Russia in the entire four-month-long war in Ukraine occurred over the weekend, but few in the waystream media took notice of it, even though it may still end up spiraling quickly towards a World War III scenario. Baltic EU NATO member Lithuania has implemented a ban on all rail transit goods going to Russia's far western enclave of Kaliningrad, after transport authorities initially announced the provocative measure heading into the weekend. When else? The EU sanctions, and I'm quoting, list notably includes coal, metals, construction materials, and advanced technology. And regional governor Anton Alekhinov said the ban would cover around half, 50%, of the items that Kaliningrad reports, according to Reuters, which has given way to fears of panic buying breaking out in the oblast of Kaliningrad, which happens to be Russian sovereign territory on the Baltic Sea, but sandwiched between Lithuania and Poland, thus reliant on overland shipping for passage via its EU neighbors. Some million people or so have been cut off, and the governor of the Russian oblast, Anton Alekhinov, is urging citizens not to resort to panic buying. Although, if you think about it, folks, they have more reason for that than people at Costco jonesing for toilet paper a year or so ago. And all of this is what Russian officials have long warned about. Western aims to blockade Kaliningrad. As you might expect, folks, it's being called another major escalation towards World War III. Said a Russian state official through TASS, "Statements from the West about a blockade of Kaliningrad is testing the waters, but Russia can break the blockade in case these threats become a reality. It has an experience," said Vladimir Zhabarov, first deputy head of the Federation Council, Upper House Committee for International Affairs. "If they want to go to the length of making us break this blockade to save the lives of our people who live there, we can do this," he said. Although he said he hoped that the West would, quote, "have enough brains to opt against this." And that may be the scariest and ugliest comment of all, folks, because when it comes to hoping that the West, especially in the case of the Biden regime, would have brains, whoa, they ought to know better than that by now. But you know what? As ugly as some of this has been, we're really working up to the ugliest of all. On January 17th, when else, Friday, leading into the weekend, the U.S. Federal Death Authority, and if you doubt that that's the correct way to pronounce that acronym, take a listen, granted emergency use authorization, EUA, for the Wuhan COVID-1984, not vaccines, you know, the mRNA poison pokes, a.k.a. Zyklon B, to be injected into, no, not just kids from 5 to 12, but now babies as young as 6 months old. We've been talking about this, fully expecting it, and now the evil ones sitting on this committee have done it, and they did so unanimously, folks, and that ought to be hard to believe. Previously, says this story from Ethan Huff and Natural News, only children 5 years of age and older were allowed to take the Zyklon B, and only with the Pfizer injection, which is bad, but probably not quite as bad as Moderna, while only those over 18 could take that variant of the bioweapon. Now infants, too, can have their DNA permanently destroyed with either brand, thanks to the federal death agents. And this announcement, it says, came just 2 days after an FDA advisory panel of so-called independent experts. Oh, yeah, they're getting independent bribes. Oh, that's my opinion, folks, but I think it's obvious. But honestly, we can't rule out duress either. And they voted unanimously to allow the regulator to issue emergency authorization for shots to kids that basically don't have any problem with the booga booga flu anyway, but will now have the ability to drop dead just like their older siblings for all kinds of things other than just Fauci's first bioweapon. Myocarditis, pericarditis, strokes, heart attacks, clots, facial paralysis, oh yeah, and let's not forget long-term sterility. And it'll be way too late before they figure out that side effect and how widespread it will be. Ethan Huff goes on to say that the FDA admitted in a statement that Pfizer's pathetic clinical trial involving children was, quote, determined not to be reliable due to the low number of COVID-19 cases that occurred in these study participants. Basically, folks, kids don't get this, so why bother poking them with something that has only one real objective besides money in the pockets of the poison crew? And it's either to sterilize them or worse. Writes the Epoch Times, authorization has a lower evidentiary bar, i.e., no bar at all, than approval, and that's only possible because U.S. authorities have maintained the COVID-1984 pandemic emergency designation, despite basically everything associated with the booga booga flu having dropped since peaks in January. So understand this. Kids don't get this thing. They basically just plain don't get it. Oh, and guess who else doesn't get it? All of those who are stupid enough to allow their kids to be poisoned with this. I heard over the weekend that 49 states, with the exception of Florida, where DeSantis basically says you've got to be kidding, have already pre-ordered the poison for all the wonderful new kiddies they want to kill. And something about this, folks, goes so far beyond ugly that even bad and ugly doesn't begin to quantify what we're seeing here. I gotta ask it, what kind of people does it take to sit on an evidentiary committee and decide, hey, this doesn't affect kids, but we want to kill them anyway, and we're so anxious to do so that we'll vote unanimously. No, not one so-called doctor or clinician or expert on this panel had the, I'll say it, cojones to say no to mass murder of kids under age 5. And you can expect the mandates to follow. And I guess I'll come right out and say one more thing, since ultimately we're not going to be allowed to say much of anything on this subject real soon now. Any parent that would allow their child to be injected with this stuff isn't fit to be a child molester, much less called a parent. Courtesy of this story in Children's Health Defense and the Times out of the UK, this is a crime against humanity, wrote somebody, to destroy the natural immunity of infants with experimental products that have proven, your host underlines here, to be dangerous and useless. And that's putting it mildly, folks. When they blatantly tell you that your children must be sacrificed to bring about their new world order, that's when debate must turn into rage, said another. From there, I want to hearken back to a story that I did back in December of last year, by which time your host has been suggesting all of this was not only inevitable, but pretty darned obvious, too. Courtesy of another one of those high-profile doctors with an arm's-length pedigree that's just about had it with the great big stinking lies and is risking his career to come forth and talk about it. In this case, it's one of the inventors of the mRNA technology itself, Dr. Robert Malone. And thanks to Rick Wiles and True News for identifying and distributing this one. And as Glenn Greenwald pointed out, this guy is definitely on the pro-vax side, although not in accord with that new definition. And to cut to the chase here, he's warning people about why not to give the poison poke to their kids.
My name is Robert Malone. I'm a physician and a scientist, but more importantly, I'm a father and a grandfather. I don't usually read from a prepared speech, but this is so important that I wanted to make sure that I got every single word and fact, scientific fact, correct. I stand by this statement with a career dedicated to vaccine research and development. I'm vaccinated for COVID, and I'm generally pro-vaccination. I've devoted my entire career to developing safe and effective ways to prevent and treat infectious diseases. After this, I'll be posting the text of this statement so that you can share it with your friends and family. Here's the thing. Before you inject your child, a decision that is irreversible, I wanted to let you know the scientific facts about this genetic vaccine, which is based on the RNA vaccine technology I created. There are three main issues that parents need to understand before they take this irrevocable decision. The first is that a viral gene will be injected into your parent's cells. This gene forces your child's body to make toxic spike proteins. These proteins often cause permanent damage in children's critical organs. These organs include their brain and nervous system, their heart and blood vessels, including blood clots, their reproductive system, and most importantly, this vaccine can trigger fundamental changes to their immune system. The most alarming point about this is that once these damages have occurred, they are irreparable. They cannot be reversed. You can't fix the lesions within their brains. You cannot repair heart tissue scarring. You cannot repair a genetically reset immune system. And this vaccine can cause reproductive damage that could affect future generations of your family. The second thing you need to know is about the fact that this novel technology has not been adequately tested. We need at least 5 years of testing and research before we can really understand the risks associated with this new technology. The harms and risk from new medicines often become revealed many years later. I ask you to ask yourself, as a fellow parent, if you want your child to be part of the most radical experiment in human history. One final point. The reason they're giving you to vaccinate your child is a lie. Your children represent no danger to their parents or grandparents. It's actually the opposite. Their immunity after getting COVID is critical to save your family, if not the world, from this disease. Finally, in summary, there's no benefit for your children or your family to be vaccinating your children against the small risks of the virus, given the known health risks of the vaccine that, as a parent, you and your children may have to live with for the rest of your lives. The risk-benefit analysis is not even close with this vaccine for children. As a parent and grandparent, my strong recommendation to you is to resist and fight to protect your children.
We close with a quick reprise of VAERS update from a while back. As of August 27th, and yeah, that's almost a year ago, there have been 13,911 official deaths, 2.93 million injury symptoms, almost 19,100 permanent disabilities, 76,000 plus ER visits, almost 57,000 hospitalizations, and 14,300 plus life-threatening events recorded following the experimental guinea pig injections of the not vaccine into dumbed-down, duped Americans. And now there have been more than twice as many as all deaths combined up until the great God medicine replaced the real thing. Recorded for the COVID-19 poke during the past 9 months, since the COVID-19 shots bypassed animal testing and any long-term testing whatsoever and were given so-called emergency use authorization, in spite of the fact that it really isn't and never was an emergency, and there have been more deaths recorded now than by all vaccines combined during the past 30 years combined. Oh, and let's not forget this, too. Says the headline, teens injected with the Zyklon B COVID poke have had 7.5 times more deaths, 15 times more disabilities, and 44 times more hospitalizations than all other previously FDA-approved sick vaccines prior to this fateful year. And finally, there's this. It could never have happened back when we actually had medical doctors that knew better than to experiment on pregnant women. There have been 1,490 fetal deaths, notice the terminology there, following the COVID-19 poison poke of pregnant women. Who needs a morning after pill, right, when you've got the Zyklon B poke? So what does Big Brother want to do? Oh, yeah. Bend over, folks, and take it, because they're coming to you marching in jackboots with needles raised high.
Don't be fooled, folks. It really is a matter of life and death. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.